We're going to talk about the light today. We have been in a series of messages, the I am statements of Christ throughout the book of the Gospel of John. And so today we're landing on where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, in my text for this morning, in John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, it's interesting that as we've been following these studies, we notice that when Jesus proclaims that I am, he reveals something about his eternal self, his eternal magnificence, his eternal glory. Many times that those that were talking with Jesus thought that they were going to outsmart him. They thought that they were going to outmaneuver him. They were trying to kill him. They wanted to do away with him. He was going against the normal practices of that day. And those that were in power and those that were working behind the scenes in darkness have worked very hard to get the power that they had, and they didn't want to let that go. And they were afraid that Jesus was threatening that. But here was the reality, is that Jesus said, I come and I'm going to reveal everything. And that's the problem that they had with Jesus, wasn't it? The light of the world. It's interesting that what is the purpose of light? Helps us see where we're going, right? It helps us see what we're doing. You know, I would always tease my grandpa of his eyesight when we would be working on something. Those of you that have bifocals, you know, corrective lenses, you know, the top half does one thing, the bottom half does another thing. And my grandpa, when he's trying to nail a nail into the wall, he'd have to look through his bifocal. And I'm like, Grandpa, if you hammer any taller, you're going to fall over. Well, you know, when I'm working on stuff, I find myself being just like my grandpa. And it's like, oh, you know, it was funny back then. It's not funny now. But sometimes I can't see what I'm doing, and so I need a little light on the situation so that I can see what's going on. Light reveals, doesn't it? Light is handy when you get up in the middle of the night and you're going across the house. Do you ever notice that little bar stool or that kitchen chair, you never really seem to kick it until it's in the middle of the night and you don't have shoes on and you can't see where you're going? Yeah, yeah. Light reveals. In fact, it even uses the scripture, uses the word of God as that example. He says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Why is that? Gives us guidance for life and living, doesn't it? So, when we talk about the light, Jesus is speaking of not only a spiritual light, but a light that gives life. Now, it's interesting that in the context here that he uses this day, it's the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And during this time on the first night, in the court where they were, there was a large area and they would have four very large candelabras that they would light on the first night. And it was said that it would give so much light that it would light up the entire courtroom and that you could see all throughout the area. It gives so much light. And so this was something that they did each time during this time of year, and something that was not to be ignored, right? They didn't have street lights like we have today. They didn't have LED flashlights to run around, the kids playing flashlight tag. But yet this light was something that would be noticed and recognized. Well, Jesus says, well, I come, but I am the light of the world. I'm much more than the lights that you see here in the tabernacle. And he invited them to come and to know him. Since he is that light, he is the one. In fact, he gives them a promise there in the second part of verse 12. He says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, here's what's interesting, is that the meaning of that word, the light of life, it's not only meaning that he is not only the source of light, but he gives light. It becomes a personal reality. You know, how would we have known what is true and what is real if Jesus had not come? We wouldn't have. Because we already saw that the religious leaders of the day already were using and presenting their own form of truth, right? They were distorting God's word. They were misusing God's word. And in fact, not being very fair to the people as well. And so often we think that, well, I have such a problem with, you know, people are against religion and they're against preachers, they're against this and that. Well, in reality, you're pointing out those that still are struggling with darkness, that are still struggling with sin. But the only one that we can say and proclaim that we have no problem with is the Lord Jesus himself, because he is the light, and no one else can claim that. But everybody else has to look to the light in order to find the truth. Amen. Look at ourselves. And folks, that's why it's so easy that even within our own understanding of Christ, that we have to be careful that we don't develop our own ideas of who God is. Because only God can reveal Himself to us. We cannot figure it out. We need His light to understand. So when He says to follow me, what is He talking about? When we follow Him, we're walking in the light. To be in the presence of God is to be in the light, right? Remember in the epistle, 1 John? He says, men do not come to God because they would rather be in darkness than the light. They prefer the dark. You know why? The dark doesn't give us conviction, does it? The dark doesn't give us guilt. The dark, we don't have to do anything to work for it. It's always there. Why? Because of our sin nature, because of our flesh. But when we come to the Lord Jesus, He ushers us into the light. He brings us into His presence. And folks, we can't come into His presence until He makes us clean. And that's the process of salvation. That's the process of redemption. That's the process of His blood cleansing us and making us clean. That we can come into the presence of the Father. But you know what happens when you come into the light? It reveals all that we are, right? It reveals all that we are. And that's why it requires repentance when we come into God's presence. Amen? Yeah. Too often people think that, well, Christians come because they think they're worthy. If you come into the light of the Lord Jesus' presence, you realize none of us are worthy. Amen? None of us are. Only He is worthy. And that's why we come to Him. Amen? Because He's the only one that can make things right. When we follow, there's five shades of meaning that we can see in this. First of all, to follow Jesus is an example of a soldier that will follow his captain everywhere he leads in battle. Whether the soldier knows where he's going or not, the soldier is faithful to follow no matter where the captain leads. So when we follow Jesus, we're talking about following Christ. We're talking about we're ready for duty. Amen? Secondly, is that as a slave accompanying his master, following always ready to spring into service and attentive to the master's desires. Now that's something that's interesting. Now, in scriptures, a lot of times when we see them talking about how that they would deal with servants and slaves and things like that, there's a lot of things that we're able to take parallels to employers and employees. But we see that the attentive desire of those who are wanting to do the work that is at hand. How many of you love going to a restaurant and you get a waiter or waitress that really has no interest of whether or not you get your food or not? Not a real enjoyable experience, is it? You get your food and it's cold. And you don't wonder why was it sitting back there so long? Or you don't get anything, a refill on your drink when you're right in the middle of a meal eating cornbread and all kinds of stuff, right? Are you with me? So we need some help here. It's frustrating, isn't it? Compare that to one that is attentive and is watching for, even if you look at them, they're coming over to check on them, right? That's good service, right? How would God rate our service to Him? How often are we looking to see what it is that He's wanting, or more than that, just what He desires and what pleases Him? Sometimes we look at this as something that it's forced. Did you realize that even in the time of Scripture that a slave could be so happy and satisfied with staying with his master that he would voluntarily give up his freedom and stay with the master? The master would mark him through the ear and he would be forever his servant. And then even in their culture, that it would even come to a point that if that master had no sons to take over the household, that he could even appoint one of his servants. So too often today, we think of slaves as being on the negative. But yet, when we talk about when Paul used the example that I'm a bond slave to Christ, we all cringe and say, that's a terrible thing. But yet, we're not giving our service to a mean, cruel master. We're giving our service to one that loves us in a way that no one else can or ever will. Amen? What great privilege that we have. You know, here's the reality, folks. You're going to serve something. You're going to serve someone. That's a reality. So you could either do it for eternal glory to the Father, or you can do it for yourself, or for other things that will bring destruction to your life. The choice is yours. Amen? And the light of Christ brings that reality that we can serve Him. Praise the Lord for it. Third, we follow the use of accepting a wise counselor's advice and direction. As God's people, we should always be known as following and living life by the counsel of God. Our fourth one is that it gives obedience to the laws of a city or state, of a person that is a useful member in any society. We're seeing that more and more all the time. Amen? The usefulness of being in a society and living together is that we follow those laws and guidelines, that we may be productive instead of destructive. Amen? And then the last one is when we're following Christ, is used as if we're following a teacher's line of argument, reason that the religious leaders were not understanding when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." They didn't want to know. Many of them didn't want to know. They were just happy with the things, way things were. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to comprehend what Jesus was ushering in, a new life, spiritual life that they did not have. So what is the light for? It's to bring knowledge of the gospel of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, he said, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." So you find that interesting? Who is it that's blinding us today, or trying to blind the world, should we say? Satan himself, right? Satan himself. Now, often when we talk about end time, especially end time revelation, and people are so scared that we're going to fall into something that the Antichrist is doing and we don't know it, or, you know, one of the most popular things is they're always questioning is, how do I know if I'm taking a mark on me? Is that the mark of the beast? And, you know, always these fears. Here's the reality, folks. If you are a child of God, you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You have committed your life to follow Him. He has saved you by the washing of His blood upon your life. You are going to know what those things are. You're going to know. Why? Because when you walk in the light, you understand what the truth is. Now, is it possible that we would be interested in other things and distracted? Yes. Yes. Is there times that we would ignore what God is wanting us to do? Yes, very possible as believers. We get distracted, we get interested in other things, and we neglect the duties of the cross? Yes, we can be deceived, confused at times. But when we come into the presence of the Lord and we're walking with Him, He gives clarity, He gives understanding, even in the issues of life around us. If we try and attempt to walk through life without Him, we're going to fail, because there's difficulties in life that we cannot answer. Even as a child of God, there's things that we cannot answer. But God can and God will. Amen? There were situations that could not be answered, even throughout the Old Testament, the understanding of how the Christ, the Messiah, would come. But yet Abraham knew, and in his day he was glad to see it. How is it that he knew that? By the light of God, the understanding of God. So what do we do with it? What do we do with this light? You be a light to the corner of your world, right? Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Are you letting your light shine today? How is it that we let that light shine? Well, first of all, we have to follow. Amen? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? There's going to be no difference in your life. You're going to be stumbling around in spiritual darkness, confused, finding difficulties and no answers. Folks, I know that we live in a day and age that we are filled with knowledge. In fact, the book of Daniel said that we would be living in the last days and it would be a time of knowledge. But yet, that knowledge does not lead to an understanding of Christ. There's a lot of things to be learned out there. There's a lot of time to be spent in learning and knowledge. But not all of those roads lead to eternal life. Amen? The truth that we're talking from is a truth that is Christ Himself. His teaching, His instruction, His direction. And you know, even though many of the situations that we are dealing with today, as confusing as they can be, we can still find answers in God's wisdom and through His counsel. So are you letting your light shine? This is not a light that we're manufacturing. It's not a light that we're trying to do on our own, but it's simple obedience to the Father. Did you realize it was really that easy? So often when we think that, well, what is it I can do to share the faith with other people around me? Walk in the light. Faithfully follow the Lord. Let him work in your life. And when he convicts you, you respond. Then you shine bright. Amen? Because there's many times with God's people, when we refuse what God is trying to do in our lives, and when we resist, we end up looking like the world, don't we? Doing the same thing the world is resisting the truth, resisting God's conviction. As God's people, we should be right there, ready and attentive. The moment that he calls, we go. Are you giving light to a dark world? He says to shine before men. Well, he's meaning all mankind, that they may see your good works. And those good works are produced by God working in us, so that we're sending light. Are you looking different? Are you a peculiar people? When they look at you, do they see, you're just one of them, just one of the crowd? Or do they look at you and say, you're different? It's not always easy being the one stuck out a little different from the crowd, but yet, for the sake of Christ, it's what we're called to do. Be a light.